Corinthians chapter 12. That's where we'll be tonight, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. The Lord's laid on my heart a message tonight about having harmony in the church, having harmony in the church, just how we can have unity in God's house. You know, I'm thankful that in this world of division, in this world of constant arguing, in this world where it seems like there's two sides going at it constantly, that we can have unity and harmony in the church. You know, we could have peace and togetherness in God's house. If you feel like maybe sometimes your family or maybe your workplace or maybe wherever you are, if it feels like there's just a lot of back and forth, constant arguing, you know what? You can have peace in God's house and we can have unity. And I look forward to seeing tonight how God says we can do just that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading there in verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And I want to look at the rest of that passage here tonight, just about how while there are many members, we are one body in Christ. And what does that mean, and how can we achieve that level of unity and that level of togetherness as a church family? Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the service tonight. Lord, we need You. God, we need You just for clarity upon Your Word. Lord, we need You for the boldness and strength to live out Your Word. And God, we need Your Spirit, Lord, to help us overcome the temptation of division, of pride. Lord, so that we could be full of You and full of humility. Lord, to have really the unity that You desire for this church to have. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd work in us tonight. I pray that You would speak to us. And Lord, I pray that You would bless the service for Your honor and for Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. When I was in about fifth or sixth grade, I was at school playing the trumpet in band, and I also had private lessons from the teacher. I don't remember which one got me tickets, but either my private instructor or school got us tickets to the Fresno Philharmonic there in California, which was this huge orchestra that we got to go watch. And I remember being there. I want to say it was with school, and maybe some of my friends. We were there on the first floor, about halfway back, and looking up at this magnificent orchestra. Now, the Fresno Philharmonic is full of 65 different instruments, all playing wonderfully together to produce really a beautiful masterpiece of music. And I remember as we sat there, we got to enjoy just the beauty of the violin, the beauty of the cello and the bass and the different instruments that were there. And as we saw all of these different people working together to make beautiful music. Now I know all of us have been in a situation, maybe not at a philharmonic or anything like that, an orchestra, where we have heard or seen some music that we will say was not so beautiful. We've all been in a situation, maybe it was a group, maybe it was just somebody singing for fun, where there's a group of them and maybe one person is just off key a little bit. If you've heard me sing in church, that probably was me. You know, we've seen people where maybe it's a group and the music sounds good and the song is great, but there's just one thing off and it stands out. You know, it's amazing with that Philharmonic as we're sitting there seeing these experts and just these really, you know, amazing musicians play, that 65 people with 65 or so different instruments could play the same song in perfect unison, could play the same song to come together playing these different notes to make such a beautiful arrangement so that all that were sitting there could really just be in awe of the music that they were providing that day. And really, it comes from one thing. It comes from being in unity. It comes from being on the same page. It doesn't come from playing the same instrument. It doesn't come from playing the same exact note. It doesn't come from maybe playing at the same exact time the entire time. But it comes as all 65 members of the orchestra playing that same song for a same purpose with unity. And it can make something beautiful. You know, God has given us a wonderful church family. You know, all as we look around, all the different members, all the different age groups in here, all the people from different backgrounds, it's amazing how God can use us to do something more beautiful than an orchestra, but how God can use us as the body of Christ to be together and united for the same purpose, for the same goal, maybe doing different tasks, but to bring forth something beautiful and amazing. And seeing God's will done and seeing God glorified. You know, an expert orchestra like that knows how to excel in being on the same page, being on the right note, in the right timing, and all in unity. It's what makes an excellent orchestra, but what makes an excellent church is people that are in unity carrying out God's plan. In regards to this passage, in reference to the church, the emphasis is unity. The key to a church being all that it should be and seeing saints grow and seeing sinners come and be saved by Jesus Christ, really what makes up a church that's carrying out God's word and God's plan to the fullest is a church that is found together in unity. We know that there can be a great many problems that can cause division. We know that pride can cause division. We know that gossip can cause division. We know that strife and offenses will come, maybe an argument, maybe something that was said that maybe wasn't very kind. We know that these things can cause division. And what we want as a church is not to have division. We don't want to have offenses, but we want to have perfect unity. I believe this idea of unity in the church is not just speaking of we all have one goal necessarily, although that is part of it. I don't believe necessarily that it's just that we're all doing the same thing, although that is part of it. But I believe that it's all of us together honoring and glorifying God, number one, with a closeness to God, but then number two, with a closeness to each other. You know, in order to be unified, there has to be a relationship that is built among God's people for us to be able to strive and work together for God's glory. God's design for us as a church is to become one unified body so that He can, first of all, accomplish His work in us, of us being saved, of us being discipled, of us being sanctified and grown closer to the Lord, but then so that God can work through us to reach our community, to reach our families, to reach the lost, and God will do that to an amazing degree when we find unity in God's house. And so tonight, I want to look at 3 points of having unity in the church. Number one tonight is harmony, not separation. Would you look down at verse 15? The Word of God says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." You know, it's amazing how God has built us as human beings. It's amazing the body that God has given us and how everything works together for a purpose. And like I said, it's not the aspect of everything doing the same thing, but it's the aspect of everything working together to accomplish the same goal. Sometimes unity or unification is everybody doing the same exact thing, but harmony is everything working together to pursue one common goal. You know, to achieve this harmony in the body of Christ, I believe there has to be at least 3 things. Number one, there has to be closeness. In our physical bodies, there has to be a closeness between the members for them to work together. There has to be, you know, as we are all connected in our body, there's connection. There's connection from the hand to the brain to the spine. There's a connection from the brain really to all parts of our body that works together. There's a close bond of connection. There's constant communication in our body. There's constant healing. There's constant help. When one part of the body is struggling, the rest of it can pick it up. And it really comes from a closeness that God has given us physically. But the same is true of the church. There has to be a closeness for there to be true unity in the church. There has to be relationships built. There has to be fellowship. We're teaching the teenagers about the church and how it started in Acts. And one of the first few things that you see constantly in the first church is that they continued in doctrine, yes, in the preaching of God's word, but they also continued in fellowship and in breaking of bread. The idea of fellowship, yes, is fellowship in that they believe the same things, but also fellowship in their closeness and in their unity. And how did that happen? It happened in breaking of bread, in the time that they spent together. You know, God desires for our church to be close. You know, church is not just to be a country club where we come and we enjoy the amenities, we enjoy the services, and we leave, and we're just ministered to the whole time. You know, church is not just to be a club where we go and we look and we say hi to others and then we leave not knowing anything about them. But God has really designed us to become one, to be a sense of community, to be a fellowship where we are close to one another, where we care about one another, where if one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body is hurting. God has designed us as a church to be close. You know, I ask you tonight, how close are you to the rest of the body of Christ? How much time do you spend in fellowship? We went through 1 John last month with the kids in junior church. And when I asked them what fellowship was, I love their answer. It's eating. That's fellowship. That was one of the first answers we got. I won't point out which of the kids it was, but one of the first answers, it's eating. It's like when we come to church and all do things together. Yeah, that's part of fellowship. You know, I know we laugh about that, but part of fellowship is spending time together, and often that's over a meal. Let's just be honest. But fellowship is spending time together. Fellowship is being close to one another. Fellowship is doing things together. You've heard Pastor use this phrase, but fellowship is life on life. God has designed the church to be our community. God has designed the church to be an integral part of our lives. And I'm not saying this to shame anybody. I'm not saying this to call out anybody. I'm not thinking of anybody specific. But, you know, the church should be one of the things that we are most involved in. You know, I know growing up that a lot of my friends, they were involved in different things, whether it was sports, whether it was school. And that was their main thing. And church was kind of on the back burner. You know, I don't say this as the assistant pastor or as a leader of the church. I just say this as honestly looking at God's word, that the church is supposed to be something, not just something as a building, not just something as a group where we do this every week because we have to, but it should be something that's just vital to our life. And the church being each other is vital to our lives. God has designed the church to help us grow. God has designed the church to administer grace to our lives when we struggle. God has designed the church to help us when we're having a bad day. God has designed the church to challenge us to take steps forwards in our Christian life so that we can strive for excellence for Jesus Christ. God has designed the church to be our community and really to be our family. And so in order to have that unity, there has to be closeness. Not only does there have to be closeness, but there has to be purpose. You know, in order for us to have unity, we have to strive for the same purpose. If I went to that orchestra that day and everybody had a different song, that would have been chaos. It would have been a problem. But they all had a binder of sheet music in front of them, and that was the goal, to play that song to the best of their ability. You know, as a church, we have to have a common purpose of, number one, bringing glory to God. We have to have a common purpose of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to have a common purpose of encouraging and edifying one another. We have to have a common purpose of discipling those that have just been saved and those that have newly followed after Jesus Christ. We have to have a common purpose that we're going to follow after God's word and what God says. We have to find a common goal and strive together to meet that goal, just as the body strives for a common goal. And it works together doing different things. We as the church have to work together for the goals that God has given us. It's a common purpose. We don't all have to do the same thing to get the gospel out. I think of Vacation Bible School coming up next week. We're going to see kids and teenagers saved that week, and we're going to be able to praise God for it. And you know what? It didn't take everybody doing the same thing. Maybe somebody just donated snacks and that's all their activity in vacation Bible school. And that little child ate a snack. And because he ate a snack, he wasn't exhausted or overwhelmed or tired. Maybe it gave him a little bit of energy for that next rally. And it helped him to listen to the gospel. You know, maybe you won't be able to be here that week, but you're going to pray. And the prayers that you're going to give is going to cause the Holy Spirit of God to convict that child or that teenager's heart to be saved. Maybe you're a teacher that week and you're going to have the opportunity to open up God's Word and share it with them. Maybe you're just in registration and part of your responsibility is just to get them checked in for order and just for organization of the week. We all have different goals. We all have different actions. Let me excuse myself right there. We all have different actions, but we all have the same goal that we're striving for. We all have different purposes, but in order for us to be unified, we're working for one thing, to see God glorified through kids being saved, through kids and teenagers being discipled, and that purpose brings us unity. Not only do we need to have closeness and purpose, but we need to have action. You know, in order for the church to have unity, it's not something that just happens on accident. You know, we don't become close on accident. We become close by spending time together. We don't become unified by looking at a common purpose and saying, that looks great, and not doing anything. Do we find unity when we work together? We find unity when we as the body of Christ fulfill our purpose. And with this first point of having harmony in the church and finding unity, we have to be content with our God-given role. Like those verses said, it says that, you know, some of shall the ear say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Or in the verse before, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. And it goes on and says different things. But we have to be content with our God-given role in order to have unity. That means whatever God has called you to do in this body of Christ, we need to be content first of all in saying, God, I am willing to do what you've called me to do. But then we have to be active in accomplishing that purpose. The eye does something different than the hand. You know, the ears do something different than the feet. And that's how God has designed the body, but they all work together. But they need to be content where they are. Not only be content with your God-given role, but be content with your diversity. One of the beauties of having differences in gifts and roles in the church is that that's what truly makes a full body of Jesus Christ. Everyone in this church here has been placed here by God for a purpose. That means God has put you here for a reason. That means God has a plan, a purpose, and something for you to be involved in. And it may not be the same as somebody else, and you have to be content in your role, and you have to be content with things being different. And you have to fulfill God's purpose for yourself in the body of Christ. You know, God has designed us to have unity, but it starts with harmony. Meaning there's no division. We're close. We have a common purpose. And we find action in the roles that God has given us. We don't have time to go through it, but we see in the beginning of the chapter the different spiritual gifts that God has given the church. That means that God has gifted and enabled everybody in here for something different. God has made some people in here teachers, and God has made some people in here not to be teachers. God has made some people in here to have patience for the youngest of the church, and maybe God has not gifted you to be patient with the youngest of the church. God has gifted some to be great givers, and God has not enabled some to be great givers. God has given some of us the ability to be able to look at God's Word and to share it clearly and accurately, and maybe for you it's not something that you're skilled at. God has gifted some of you for great hospitality and that you're wonderful at looking out for the needs of others and welcoming people. And maybe that's not your gift, but God has given all of us these different spiritual gifts so that we could use them for the purposes of God's house and the local church. It says, I'm just going to read some of these verses in 1 Corinthians 12. It says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles and prophecy and diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. You know, God has gifted the church in different ways, but so that we all can accomplish the same purpose. God has given everybody in here different abilities so that we can come together and work together to bring God glory. But the church has to find harmony. We have to be willing to work with one another. We have to be willing to recognize, what are my gifts? Where has God enabled me to serve in the church? And then we have to get active in being involved. We have to be active in getting to know one another so that we can find this harmony. Number two tonight, humility, no pride. In order to have unity, we have to have humility, no pride. Look down at verse number 20 of chapter 12. Verse says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more so, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. What God is saying here is that there's these different parts of the body. Some maybe are more glamorous and some less glamorous, but God has gifted them in every single part is needed. That means every single member of the church is important. That means every single role of this local church matters. That means what God has given you to do in this church is important. Even if it's just encouraging somebody else, if it's through your prayer time, if it's through something that will never be seen by the rest of the church. You may never come up on this platform and be seen by everybody else, but your ministry matters. What God has given you is important. There's no part of God's body, the body of Christ, the local church, that is not important. Every single part matters. But if the church is going to work in harmony, is going to be unified, we must know that every part matters, but we do not matter more than we think we do. We can't have pride. We can't think of ourselves more often than we ought to. We can't think of ourselves to be more than we really are. We cannot be lifted up in pride saying that I'm more important than this one. We can't lift ourselves up in pride and saying, you know, I matter and what I do matters to this degree. Why am I not receiving this recognition? We can't have this attitude of what I'm doing is more vital than everybody else. And so what I hear, I'm important. God says there can be no pride in the body of Christ because every part is important. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You see, to work together, we cannot be lifting ourselves up in pride, but we must lower ourselves in humility to serve as Jesus Christ served. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They go and we know that they sell their land and they take their money and they go and they offer it to the Lord. And of course, they lie to the Holy Spirit. They lie to the Holy Spirit. They cause harm in the church. And really, the root of their sin was a sin of pride. That they wanted to be looked at as more important, more spiritual, more valuable because of their gift to the church. But God says that all are of equal importance in the body of Christ. When I was in the sixth grade, I had the fun opportunity to be on the school basketball team. Not only was I on the school basketball team, but in sixth grade, I was starting on the school basketball team. Now, just to let you know something, if Arthur Acosta is starting on the basketball team, they are not a good basketball team, okay? You should know that very, very clearly. But, you know, we had fun that year. We had a good time. I remember just getting to play different games after school against the different elementary schools that were in the area. And I remember that us as a team, like I said, we were not very good, but we had one kid on our team that was actually a very good basketball player. The only problem is that he knew he was a good basketball player. And not only did he know he was a good basketball player, but he thought he was the best basketball player. And I remember we'd get out there on the court and he would start with the ball and he would dribble around and he would take every single shot. I mean, he thought he was great and he was better than the rest of us, but he just really thought he was the next coming of Michael Jordan or something. But he was out there and, I mean, he would take the ball, he would argue with people, he would just basically puff himself up and say, you know, I'm the best player, I'm the most important, and he would do that often. And I remember the best game that we had was the game that he was suspended and he wasn't there. And I believe it was for this purpose, that because of his pride, we couldn't work together. Because of his pride, we couldn't operate as a team. Because of his pride, it brought the whole team down, even though he was really legitimate. He was our best player. He was the best at dribbling, the best at shooting. But his pride and his arrogance only made the team worse. As the body of Christ, pride only makes the team worse. Pride only harms the body of Christ. Pride spoils the church. You know, pride isn't always something that's loud and flamboyant. It's not always something that's just obvious to see. Sometimes pride is just a little seed that's placed in our hearts of why didn't I get to do that? Of why aren't I praised for that? Why am I not looked at in that way? Pride is sometimes maybe even just a sense of I deserve that. Pride is just, you know, look at how important I am. And we all are important in the body of Christ. But pride says it's all about me and not about everybody. It's more about me than it is about them. Pride says it's more about what I know than about what others know. Pride says it's more about what I want and what I think is best than what others think is best. Pride says it's more about, you know, my feelings, that maybe somebody said something to me, maybe somebody did something and it bothered me. And pride is more about how I feel than making this right before another brother or sister in Christ. Pride comes when we say, God, I can't confess that because I care too much about how I look. Pride brings destruction. I think in the body of Christ, it's important when we say that we cannot have pride to know that one person is no better than any other. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We've all heard that quote many times, and it's so true. That when God's eyes, that we are all equal. And what we deserve is nothing less than the burning hell that is reserved for the devil and his angels because of our rejection of God. And thankfully, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and His grace, that He saw fit to save us so that we can have a relationship with God. And it's not about what we deserve, but it's about the one that died to save us. It's not what we want, but it's about what God wants. It's not about how important we are, but how important He is. And so in order to have a church of unity, there can be no pride. There must be humility. Not only is one person no better than the other, but every member is necessary. The first bone I broke was this pinky finger. It wasn't, you know, very glamorous as a little kid thinking, you know, see kids break their arms or break their legs. I got these casts and they get to sign it. I just had this little metal splint on it. And you know, if you've broken a finger or something like that, you think, you know, surely it's not that important. But how annoying is it when just something so small as a pinky finger isn't working right? How much of a problem and a grievance is it when maybe something as small as a toe isn't quite working right? How annoying is it when maybe your hearing just isn't what it should be? maybe when your eyes aren't what they should be, and you might think it's so small and insignificant. But every part of our physical body is important, and every part of the body of Christ is important. And when a small part of the body of Christ is hurting, the rest of the body of Christ should hurt. When one part is lacking, the rest is too. And it's not for us to be lifted up in pride and say, well, who cares? I'm more important. But it's for us to care about each and every member. It's for us to seek to encourage each and every member, from the youngest to the oldest, to seek to be a blessing, to seek to work together, to seek to get to know one another, because every part of the body of Christ is important. Number one tonight, we need harmony. Number two tonight, we need humility. And number three tonight, we need unity. I wrote here, unity, no division. If you will look down at verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. As part of the body of Christ, we must be pursuing unity. There can be no division. There can be no problems between one another. If we want to see God's purposes honored and glorified, if we want to see God's name gone out in our community, if we want to see what God has called us to do accomplished to the fullest that it can be, we have to be unified where there's no division. There could be no problems between one another and the body of Christ. Right now, currently going on is the NBA Finals for professional basketball. This last series, last year's champions, were just bumped out, the Golden State Warriors. They won the championship last year in basketball, and this year they just got bumped out by the Lakers. And as I watched a little bit of basketball, I don't watch a ton of basketball, but I normally watch a little bit of the playoffs, and I follow things throughout the year. I remember the Golden State Warriors getting knocked out of the playoffs, and I remember listening to what one of their veterans said was the reason that they lost. It wasn't something that happened a couple weeks ago, but it was something that happened all the way back in October. This veteran by the name of Draymond Green was recorded in practice as punching one of the other members of his team right in the face in practice. They got this video and it became this whole big thing where he punched this guy who's a younger guy. I think it was only his second year in the league. And you just saw a full-on fight right there in practice. And he was very candid and very honest. He said, we've worked through it, we've apologized, got things worked out. But he said, I believe that's part of the reason that we just got knocked out of playoffs is because what I did caused a problem with the team that we had to deal with all year. That friction and that division that he caused in a moment of anger really ruined the team's title chances for the rest of the year. Pride, anger, and division cause any great sports team to fail, but it can cause any problems in the church to get ugly. Pride and division has no place in God's house. I think number one is because we are all one in Christ. By our belief in Jesus Christ, that He is the one that died for our sins because we could not be saved on our own. By the blood that cleansed us and washed us so that we could be forgiven. By the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we make that decision to put our faith in Him as our Lord and our Savior, we become a part of the body of Christ. And as we join the local church, we become a part of this local body. And as we do that, we are made one in Christ. And there can be no division. God has called us to be one. God has not called us to be a lot of different separate members that come just to a building every week. God has not called us to be a bunch of different small churches inside of this one church. God has called us as the members of Crooked Creek Baptist Church to become one unified body. And in order for that to take place, there can be no strife. There can be no envying. There can be no gossip. There can be no fighting. There can be no problems if we are truly going to have unity in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:22 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." That passage right there, it really illustrates for us that our service, or our gift to God, it's not really worth a whole lot if we have a problem with one another. Our ministry, our service to the Lord, it doesn't add up to much if you have an issue and an offense with somebody else. I find it interesting in this passage, it doesn't even say that he has a problem with somebody else. It says if you know that your brother has a problem with you, then you need to go and get that settled, because your service, your gift, leave it there, because it's not worth anything until you get that right. We find really this teaching over and over again in the New Testament, that if you have an offense with another brother or sister in Christ, that you have to get that right. If you know that somebody else has a problem with you, it's on you to go and talk to them. If you've done something and you have a problem with somebody else, it's on you to go and talk to them. It's not to wait for somebody else to take the responsibility, but it's on that if you know there is any kind of offense, that you first go and get that settled. Why? Because there can be no division in the body of Christ. It has to be dealt with. Forgiveness has to be offered. A conversation needs to happen. A decision needs to be made that I'm not going to allow this offense to cause division in the body of Christ, but I'm going to get it right. Division has caused so many problems in so many churches. Division and anger and pride and strife has caused many churches to close their doors. It's caused many church splits. Many problems. I'm sure most of us have heard of a church in one way or another that's been through one of those things. And it starts because one person wasn't willing to make sure that there was no division in the body of Christ. I'm going to challenge us tonight that if you have an offense with anybody, or if anybody has an offense with you and you know about it, to go and get that settled. Because as a church, we have a purpose to bring God glory, to reach the lost, to disciple our church, to encourage and edify one another. And those things cannot be accomplished to the point that they could be if we have division. If you're serious about having unity as a church, you'll forgive those that have wronged you. And you'll make it right when you have wronged others. Whether that's a proud attitude or hurt feelings, whether it's words that shouldn't have been said, you'll make sure that you get that settled so that we can be one body. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 1 and verse 10, where he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." I'm saying, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you that there be unity in the body of Christ. Unity is so important. It comes when we care about being close to one another. It comes when we care about the purpose that God has given us. And it comes when we take action to make sure that God's plan and God's purpose for unity and for togetherness in the church really becomes a reality. We have to care enough to ensure that those things happen. I was thinking today as I was writing this message, I was thinking of Brother Bill and the blessing that he was. And I'm grateful that he's in glory. But if you ever notice, sometimes when Brother Bill would walk through this hallway, if nobody was at the piano, he would come and do one thing. He would hum and he would tap on Middle C. And often I would hear him say, "I got it. I still got it." What he was doing is he was just looking to see that if his mind and his idea of that no was still the same. And I remember one time Brother Bill walked by that piano, and he hummed and he hit that Middle C, and he said, "Oh, I'm just off a little bit." He hit it again and he hummed again until he got it right. You know, sometimes division and problems in the church, it's not a huge thing, but maybe you're off just a little bit. Maybe there's just a small seed of pride. Maybe there's just something small, some small grievance or offense with somebody else. It may not be big, it may not be huge, it may not be a full-blown fight or anything like that. But maybe there's just one small way that you're off. You need to get back on track. You need to hit Middle C again and make sure that you're in tune with the music. And tonight, as God's Word is spoken, really, as we read these verses, this is what speaks to us. God's Word has shown us the key and the tune that we should be in. And we have to realize, am I right where God wants me to be? Am I just a little bit off? Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? As we get ready to close the service, I just want to ask a few questions. How close are you to others in the body of Christ? Do you spend time getting to know other families, other believers? Do you spend time trying to be close? Is there any division tonight? Is there any offense? Is there any hurt feelings? Are there any problems between you and another that you need to get right? God says, leave thy gift at the altar. Go and get it right. And then come back and offer thy gift. Unity in the church. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart, but as the piano begins to play,